This morning is going to be a little bit different in the sermon time, in part because it is the last Sunday of the year, and we want to reflect on 2018 while also looking forward to 2019. But before we get to that special part, I do want to talk a little bit about our first reading this morning. Because unless you know the story of Samuel, the reading is kind of mystifying. It's very disjointed. It's just in the middle of nowhere. The first words you heard were, Samuel was ministering before the Lord, a boy wearing a linen ephod. What the heck is an ephod? And what does this have to do with anything, right? And then later on, you just hear that Eli blesses Elkanah and his wife, saying, may the Lord repay you with children by this woman for the gift that she made to the Lord. And you're thinking, what gift? What happened? Why is there this blessing? What's going on here? And so I think it is helpful for us to know the story of Samuel, because knowing what the narrative of the Bible is important, but also because it will speak to what it is that we want to review today as well. So the book of 1 Samuel opens up with the introduction of the story of how it was this man named Samuel came to be. Samuel is important because he is the hinge point, if you will, between the period of the judges, which is what Israel was living as. They were living as a loose confederacy after they had taken the promised land under Joshua. Then Samuel shows up and he ends up being the one who will anoint the first king of Israel. And the whole kingdom of Israel follows after Samuel. So he's in this important hinge point in the history of the people. But how things came about, we have to go back to his parents. And so there was this man named Elkanah with two wives. One wife's name was Peninnah, the other wife's name was Hannah. And Peninnah was able to have children, but Hannah was not. And back in that day, that was a serious concern because your value as a woman, and in particular as a wife, was directly connected to your ability to produce children. And so Hannah couldn't have kids. She was infertile. And this was a concern for her. It was a travesty. It was a difficulty. And she didn't like that situation. To make matters worse, Peninnah, the wife who could have kids, would mock Hannah about that and would become her rival and make fun of her. Like stuff like, hey, I just had another kid. Where's yours? Like whatever it was. Peninnah was not making life easy for Hannah at all. Well, every year, Elkanah would take his wives and the kids and other members of the family, and they would go to a place called Shiloh, which is where the tent of meeting was, which is where the Ark of the Covenant was. These were the days before Jerusalem was established as the capital of Israel. And so the Ark of the Covenant and the central location of Jewish worship at the time was in this place called Shiloh. And Eli was the priest there. And so once a year, and this was probably the Passover celebration, just like Jesus and his parents went to the Passover in the gospel reading, once a year they would come and they'd engage in this 8-day long time of celebration and worship and sacrifice and offering. And what Elkanah would do is he would provide for his wives what it is that they would present as an offering for the sacrifice and for this worship. And the way it worked out is not only was the animal brought in order to be sacrificed, but the person making the offering was also participating in that sacrifice by eating some of what was offered. And so that might seem a little bit unusual because usually we envision sacrifices being made and it's just totally given away and that's it. But no, at the Passover, the individuals making the presentation of the offering would also participate in eating that which was offered. Sounds kind of familiar. It's a pattern we do every Sunday, actually. But in the Passover, this was happening. And what Elkanah would do, because he loved Hannah very much, is he would give her a double portion to offer. And so she ended up with more to feast upon than Peninnah did. And this was Elkanah's way of trying to say to Hannah, look, I love you, and it doesn't bother me that you can't have children. And you know, understand, you know, am I not worth more than 10 sons to you? Like this is okay, it's all right. But for Hannah, she was still distraught, still despondent. And year after year, this would go on until one year, finally, she was so upset, she went to the temple and began to pray towards, the tent of meeting. She began to pray towards the Ark of the Covenant and asking God, please, would you take this away from me? Would you grant me a son? Would you grant me the ability to have children? And if you give me a son, I promise I will give him right back to you. He will be devoted to you, devoted to your service, and that's what I promise to you. Well, Eli the priest saw her praying and so went over to see how she was doing because, of course, she was so distraught. And when she told him his story, he basically blessed her and said, "May the Lord grant what it is that you have requested, what you have desired." And then she and her husband and the rest of the family go home. And sure enough, a short time later, she conceives. She's pregnant. And 9 months later, a baby boy is born to her. She names him Samuel and begins to enjoy the fact that she now is a mother. She's produced a child, and God has answered her prayer. Well, a year goes by. Elkanah is ready to bring them down to the Passover again, as they usually do. And Hannah said, "You know what? Let me just not go with you until I've weaned the child so that I can give him to the Lord as I said I would. So I will wait until he's independent of me in that way, and then we can do that." So perhaps 2-3 years go by, and finally now they go down to the Passover, and Elkanah brings Peninnah and her kids and Hannah and her child, and there at the altar of the Lord, as it were, Hannah is able to go to Eli and say, "Here is my son Samuel. He is the one that I had been praying for, and you blessed me, and God answered, and now I am doing what I said I would do, and I'm giving him back into your service." And so with that, the very young boy Samuel is taken under Eli's mentorship and begins to be trained to be a priest of God. That's why he's wearing a linen ephod. An ephod is a robe, kind of like this one, that the priests would wear. So for Samuel to be ministering before the Lord, a boy wearing a linen ephod, what we are saying is very early in his life, he was already set apart to be a priest of the Lord. Our reading went on to say this rather touching episode, that every year when Elkanah would come back for the Passover, Hannah would bring with her a robe that she had made for Samuel. And so for this annual reunion between mother and son, Samuel would receive a gift of a new robe. He'd get a new robe every year. And I guess as he got older and taller, she'd just keep adding to the design and the pattern of her robe. But this was this wonderful, touching thing of love being shown toward Samuel by her mom. Well, on one of these occasions, Eli, of course, knowing the story, turns to Elkanah and says, "May the Lord bless you with many children by this woman because of the gift she has given." What was the gift? Her son. The only son she had was given to the Lord. And so Eli blesses Elkanah and blesses him with the promise that he might have even more kids through Hannah. Well, we didn't read it this morning, but Hannah went on to have 3 more sons and 2 more daughters. And so those days of being unable to have children were long gone, and she and her family were blessed by the Lord in this way. Samuel then continues and grows up into this role, and he ultimately becomes a great priest and a great prophet and a great judge of Israel. And as I said, ends up being that important hinge person in the history of Israel, being the first one to anoint the very first king of Israel. So that's the story of Samuel. That's what gets it started. And this is what ultimately will lead us to King David and everything that follows with reference to David as a man after God's own heart and God's promise of an eternal covenant with David. And there will always be a descendant of David on the throne and ultimately Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the son of David, the son of man, the son of God, takes that role that was established when Samuel anointed the first king over Israel. The story is important as well because of what it is that we want to do today. Those of you who were here 12 months ago would remember this. If you weren't here, let me give you the synopsis. But we talked at this time last year about the fact that when we approach a new year, we often talk about New Year's resolutions. We talk about things that we would resolve to do in the new year, things that we want to accomplish, things we want to change, things we want to do. And there's nothing wrong with New Year's resolutions. I have some for this year myself. As of January 2nd, I'm going to start getting back into regular exercise because I've let it go over the last number of months. Of course, we'll see how long that lasts. But anyways, that's another story. New Year's resolutions are fine. But of course, they're built around what it is that we intend to do in the course of the year. This is what I am going to do. And nothing wrong with that, but let's just call it for what it is. And so a year ago, I had suggested, what if we were to change that a little bit? And what if we were to add to the mix, thinking about one thing that we would trust God for in the year to come? What if there was one thing that we knew we could not do on our own, or we could not see happen on our own? What if we were to say, Lord, this is the thing I would love to see you do this year? And so then I encouraged everybody to consider taking what we called green forms. And we called them green forms because they were on green paper. And the green form was in two parts. The top part, you would write down that one thing you were trusting God for in the year. The bottom part, you would write it down again. And then you would hand the bottom part in to me. And I committed to pray over all of these green forms over the course of the year. So there were 24 green forms handed in last year, some of them actually from Kathy's art students in the art studio. So some people that aren't even part of our congregation officially, if you will, have also submitted requests. And every week I have prayed for these. And I like to think it's very similar to the story that we heard of Hannah. Hannah had a concern for her that she brought before the Lord and said, God, would you do this? Would you remember me? Would you answer my request? Eli the priest came up to her and heard her request and said, may the Lord grant you what it is that you have requested. And in the same kind of way, that's what these are kind of representing. Me joining with you and asking God and trusting God to do something. Now, there was a spot for a person to write down the date that the request was answered. That was an important part, to have the request be something where we could say, God answered the request. I saw it. Here's the date, and you let me know, and there it is. And so of these 24, this one is still being worked on. This one is in progress, as is this one. Now, of course, this is assuming that maybe God might have answered these ones, but no one's told me yet. So from the records I've heard so far, we're still waiting for that to happen. This one has been answered. This one is still in process. This one, I know I've talked to the person about things that are progressing there. This one, too, we're waiting on. This one, it wasn't dated. It's not a dateable thing, but we're going to put that in the progress category. This one was answered. This one is still underway, but I haven't talked to that person for a while. This one was answered. This one is underway, also underway, as far as I know, still underway. This one we've seen answered. I heard this person say it was done. This one's in process. This one happened. This one we're still waiting on. This one too, as far as I know. This one we thought it was going to be answered, but we reset. This one's happened. This one's underway. And this one actually was answered twice. And so it was neat to see that almost half of these green forms, we have had people able to say, God's done something. We've seen something take place. And this morning, I've asked a couple of people if they might come and be willing to share with us a little bit of their experience and what it is that they had done with their green form. So I'm asking Sandy Hardy to break the ice because she said she would do it. Sandy, you filled out a green form, and so I'd love for you to share with the congregation however much detail you'd like to go into. Yeah, well, that's all right. That's all good. Do you want to hold this, or do you want me to hold it for you?
No, you hold it.
Okay. Don't be afraid of it. Just go ahead.
Well, last year, it was around the end of June, and my son-in-law, Aaron, who's a millwright, was at work on a Friday afternoon, when the manager of the company came in and he told everybody in that department that their services were no longer required and that they were he was closing the whole department. So needless to say, that's a kind of a shock because there was no pre-warning or anything like that. So they were given, I think it was a month's salary and 30 days extension on their health plan. So anyway, then, of course, that meant that Aaron brings out his resume and updates it and starts faithfully every day watching the internet and looking for jobs. So when Derwin said last year and he handed out the green papers, I thought, this is what I'm going to pray for and ask Derwin to pay for also, was this one thing, that he could find a job and a job that he would enjoy. So anyway, then it was on this year, February, and Aaron got a job, so anyway, and even on this job, a month, 3 months after he was at work, and they were so pleased with his work, he got a $1,000 bonus.
Nice.
Yeah. So anyway, I'd just like to thank you very much for praying along with us. And he's in his job, and he's really enjoying it. So
that's awesome. That's great.
So God is good.
He is.
Trust indeed. In God.
Great. Thank you, Sandy.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Thanks so much for doing that. Just so you know, when someone tells me that the prayer is answered, I still keep praying for that thing. I pray with thankfulness, first of all, but then I also ask God to continue whatever it was that was done. It's not like, oh, we're done now, we can quit. It's like, no, I'm going to keep on praying. And so for 10 months, I continued to give thanks to God that God answered Sandy's prayer for her son. So this is great. Kathy, you also were willing to say a few words. Do you want to hold it or do I want to hold it? Oh, you can do it that way. That works too.
So I have a prop.
There we go.
Sandy, you and I should have got together. So when Derwin asked me to prepare something, I wondered how I could do it concisely. And as many of you know, I journal. I journal a lot. And so I thought what I could do is just go back to my entries and clip out a little bit. So this is about from the middle of January. The first entry of the year. Two Sundays ago, Derwin announced that we were to come up with something specific we would like God to answer or provide in the upcoming year. Not necessarily something in place of a New Year's resolution, but something specific and measurable. Last Sunday, I submitted my prayer because Derwin would be praying for our request alongside of us. I was settled on one person, and I've tried to protect this person because it's not my story, it's their story, but we'll see what happens here. I was settled on one person who had fallen into depression after being laid off from a job they didn't really like anyway. This person had withdrawn and become grumpy and miserable to be around. The gentlest suggestion had been met sullenly and with increased avoidance. I had no idea how to reach into this darkness, and on reflection realized this had been going on for some time. So my prayer was, is, that this person would be happy. And, you know, it's awkward because what I think might make that person happy isn't necessarily what would truly make that person happy. But that's what I had to settle on and kind of generically. How I would measure this success, because Derwin had asked us for something measurable, might mean any one of the following. An enjoyable job, a new interest, going back to school, going back to an activity this person excelled at, and so on. So then we fast forward maybe a few days, just a few days, which is amazing. As I drove to work this morning, I was thinking about this person, but for the first time in a long time, I wasn't worried. I felt like a giant weight had been lifted from my shoulders, one I was barely aware of. I realized that I'd given my worry over to God to take care of. That's not to say that I won't continue to pray or watch for opportune moments to provide advice, encouragement, or support, just that my load was lighter. In fact, I felt like my prayer for this person was answered, even if the end results were as yet unknown. So now we go probably another week. The day was a miracle. This person had risen early, prepared resumes, and sent them out. That evening, three responses had been received. This is already an incredible change. So now, a year later, and this person has continued working, has stepped out of depression and into hope for what the future might bring. And God is good.
Amen. Thank you, Kathy. Thank you. Yeah. I've asked a couple of people specifically, but I know that there are many others who have filled out green forms, and I don't want to miss giving you the opportunity if you're thinking, well, maybe I want to share my story too. Is there anyone here that might want to add to the voices already that have talked about their green forms? I just want to give that opportunity. All right. It's all good. I'm sure over coffee. Okay. Yeah. I saw Kathy trying to lean on him, but, you know, I was thinking, well, you know, I'm going to let it be his decision. I know you know how to hold these, so
I do.
You do. Yes, that's right.
That's right. So my green sheet that I filled out, I was trying to think of the most intractable situation I could think of. And for those that don't know, I've had a pretty decent business career, way better than I thought it could ever be, and been blessed in many ways, you know, good health, family, etc. But my brother, my younger brother, we haven't spoken in many years, and it's sort of this nuclear sort of freezing, you could say, where for everything else good that's happened in my life, this is something that really concerns me. You know, my parents live in town here. We're a close family, except that they have two Christmas dinners. We have two family celebrations. And, you know, for a variety of reasons, we just hadn't spoken in years. So I thought if there's something that I could really pray for, it would be, I have no idea how to solve this problem. So I'll rely on Derwin and God, hopefully, to help me. And in a really strange and indirect way, that's what happened. So we joined a tennis club. A little while ago, and I started playing tennis again. And my brother's an architect, and he actually designed the Austin and Victor Tennis Center, this beautiful facility down in Acadia. And a lot of my tennis friends said, well, you have the same last name, you look similar enough, who is this guy? So that's my brother. And so people who didn't know me at all a year or 18 months ago were saying, well, you know, this hurts him a lot too. Hmm. And I think if you reached out, there might be a bit of a thawing here. And it was neat, you know, people that I didn't even know when I wrote my little entreaty on the green sheet, mm-hmm. Were sort of, not in an officious way, but nudging me to reach out. And I've done that. And I think, you know, it'll definitely be a process, something where you haven't spoken to somebody in years. You can't expect all of a sudden it'll be like back to old times. But, you know, I really am surprised at the way that we've kind of worked our way back together. And of course, my parents are overjoyed. And the one really interesting thing in this is a lot of people that know the two of us who have really backed off the past few years, every one of them who's heard that, well, there's some communication again, every single person, and people who normally are not very emotional have said, you've made the right decision here, reaching out. This is good for everybody. And it was just, it's interesting when you've had a situation for so long that you think it's not movable, just nudge in a better direction, and then just the kind of groundswell of support from people that really have no axe to grind here. That have really been supportive of this. So we're way further ahead than we would have been, I think, without the green sheet program, I would say, and the prayers of everyone. So greatly appreciate.
Yeah, and
it.
So you're in the in-process pile, but still being able to detect the work of God already.
And when I wrote this, the day I gave it to you, I was almost, I didn't throw it at you or toss it to you, but I almost thought, hey, if you can solve this.
Well, not me.
Give it your best shot. So I encourage anyone, if they're not sure what to pray for, try to think of the most intractable thing you can think of, and who knows, maybe things will work out.
Go big or go home.
That's right.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks, Jeremy.
Thanks.
Thank you. Just to make sure, is there anyone else that wants to share anything, or are we all right? Just want to give that opportunity. It's great to hear what God is doing in our lives, right? So the encouraging thing is that we can look back and be encouraged and see that things have happened. And there's reason to consider that things might happen yet again. And so as we finish off this thought, I just want to encourage you to get out the new green form. It's a different shade of green for 2019. And they're available on the sidesperson's table on your way out. You can grab one. I deliberately didn't put them in the bulletins because I wanted people to deliberately get one of these rather than just have it fall in their laps. And I encourage you, I challenge you, I dare you to put something down that you're going to trust God for in 2019. Not that we can make demands of God, and not that we try to suggest that God is somehow a formula. Oh, if you do the green form and Derwin prays for you, then it's going to happen. I mean, someone has said this, that prayer is not a Coke machine, right? You don't put in your toonie, push the button, and out comes exactly what you asked for. It's automatically, right? But neither is prayer a slot machine. You don't just put in your toonie and pull the lever and hope something happens. The way God works in responding to our prayers is somewhere between those two things. We cannot resort to mere mathematics. If you do this, that, and the other thing, then God will do that, that, and that. You can't do that. But at the same time, aren't we just throwing a prayer up into heaven and hope something takes? Because there's a God who cares, who hears. And it says in the top of our green form, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not rely on your own insight. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make straight your paths. All of our petitions and requests and the intercessions we hear here every Sunday go to God, trusting that God's wisdom, which is grander than anything we might have, will take root and will be influencing what it is that we are requesting. So let me encourage you to grab a green form on your way out today. Think of something specific that you're going to trust God for in 2019. Take it home with you. Consider it. Take some time. There's no deadline for getting these in. But the sooner you submit it, the sooner I can add my prayers along with yours. And we can look forward to 12 months from now, finding out what it is that God has done in 2019. Amen.